not much pleasure there, but this day. Peace in our hearts among the waves, anchored together, waiting for the Lord's day. Searching scriptures from day to day, living our lives the only way. We know possible.
Want this one?
Sure.
It says cheat sheet. Good morning. God bless you.
Good morning.
You can take your Bibles and go to Ecclesiastes, please. Excuse me. We're going to look at our sacred duty this morning. The word sacred means holy or blessed. Its antonym is the word secular. A duty in the context of what I'm teaching you this morning can be understood as an obligation or an accountability. A duty is an allegiance. Perhaps it's an assignment. Sometimes it's a burden. It's a charge or a chore. We are commissioned. Or duty is a commitment. It could also be a dictate of conscience, function. It can be an indebtedness, a moral necessity, and a moral obligation. A duty is an obedience. It's an office, a pledge, a promise. It's a responsibility. Sometimes it's a role, a task, or a work. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we see in verse 13 a scripture that's written at the end of the book that sums up what Solomon wrote throughout this book with regards to understanding life and the things of life. And he writes, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, Ecclesiastes 12:13. And the conclusion that he came to was to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Duty is not a word you hear much about today. Duty in the dictionary is defined as what you have to do. What you have to do. In other words, it's your responsibility, it's your obligation. Today you hear plenty about what you deserve or what you're entitled to. And it's this entitlement mentality that's destroying our youth. Charged with the task of rescuing the United States Army flyers stranded on the Greenland ice cap, Lieutenant Hearn and his company spent 5.5 months on the world's largest island, patrolling acres of frozen ground and treacherous glaciers. 15 dogs froze to death in a 100-mile-an-hour snowstorm. Hearn, who is a veteran of 12 years, service in the Coast Guard, all of which was spent as a pharmacy's mate, explained that on the mission, it was his job to minister to the medical needs of the men. In line with his work, he amputated two toes, pulled two teeth, and delivered pups to an Eskimo dog. The Coast Guard officer described, "The worst menace to the party was the possibility of them being poisoned by carbon monoxide fumes from their stoves as they slept in their hut. Their ventilator pipes would fill with snow, and this danger was ever present. However, during the violent storms which swept the island, their stoves went out, and they spent days on end in their sleeping bags. When the party ran out of gasoline, they lived by candlelight. Although they did not succeed in rescuing the men they sent out to find, 25 other flyers, including a group of Canadians, were brought back to safety by the intrepid little party." Excuse me. Words like loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage are for the most part words of a past generation. And yet these are the seven core values of the United States Army. Together they form the Ackerman leadership. Today people tend to forget their duties, but they're ever ready to remember their rights. Today I like to consider our sacred duties in three areas. The first would be our sacred duty towards God. The second would be our sacred duty towards ourselves. And the third would be our sacred duty towards others. Considering our sacred duty towards God, we are bound to obey the will of God as far as we know it. Because God is the sovereign Lord of the universe, who made and governs all things by his almighty power and his infinite wisdom. The name of this duty is called reverence or respect. Reverence consists in continuing in just opinions regarding God, and in such affection towards him and worship of him that are suitable with these opinions. Today, the devil is working hard to wipe the name of Jesus off the planet. However, he is failing miserably. As long as there are believers like you who love the Lord Jesus and speak his name, the devil can never win. One of the greatest lies that the church of Satan, the media, is propounding across the world is the lie that God is dead, that God is losing, that people love evil more than they love God, that Jesus Christ is a name of the past. It's propaganda. And if you feed into that propaganda, you'll start acting that way. You will become disheartened and discouraged. It's propaganda. The same kind of propaganda that said Donald Trump never had a chance, that Donald Trump was this and Donald Trump was that. And according to the media, Clinton was billions of votes ahead. Well, when that fateful night came, it was Donald Trump who emerged president of the United States. It was the media that lied, and it's the media that's lying about God and about Jesus Christ and about where the Christians stand in the world. The fact that the Christians rallied and voted is proof enough to show that they have power and that God is still alive. Amen? Amen. Don't believe that crap that the media is teaching you. Jesus Christ is still Lord, and God is still God, regardless of what any little puny man says. We have an obligation towards God and an obligation towards our Lord Jesus. The church should be taught such, and then the church should act accordingly. Our first obligation towards God is recorded in Acts chapter 2, please. This is man's first obligation towards God. Acts 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Man's first obligation towards God is for him to repent and call on the name of Jesus. Because if man doesn't do that, he gets nowhere else with God. That's the first step. Man is obligated to repent. That is his duty. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Acts 26, 20. But showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should what? Repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Man's duty towards God starts with repentance and calling on the name of Jesus Christ. Now, there are associated concepts that go along with the word duty. One of them here include failure of imperative duty. Imperative duty is that which is necessary. Failure of imperative duty. And neglect of duty. In John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. This is neglect of duty. This is failure of imperative duty. When man is offered a chance to receive salvation, to receive eternal life, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, that's imperative to him. But when he neglects it, when he fails in that, he stays in the state in which he was born. And this isn't a new concept. This is all throughout the Bible. In Romans chapter 2. You just can't turn a TV station on today without hearing about Jesus. You can't turn a radio on today without hearing about Jesus. You go to the right place. The name of Jesus is proclaimed more today than it's ever been throughout history. See? Now, if you listen to the media, they won't tell you that. But just think about it logically. There are more ministries, there are more people, there are more radio, TV broadcasting, shortwave, everything else that's proclaiming the name of Jesus 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You know that's true. Every minute of the day, every minute of the day, the name of Jesus is being proclaimed. Now, the media won't tell you that, because the media goes like this when they hear the name of Jesus. Man has no excuse today. Now, I understand the tribe in Uganda under the rock, and God will deal with them in a just matter. But man has no excuse today. Salvation is easier today than it's ever been, given the fact that we live in the administration of grace. You see, it's just neglect of duty. Imperative duty. This is a must. If you go through life and you miss Jesus, you lost at life. Right? Romans 2, verse 13. But it's not only hearing the word of God. Because they've heard the word of God, they've heard the name of Jesus. It's repenting and receiving it. Verse 13, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be what? See, all through history, even in the Old Testament, it wasn't just hearing of the word of God. It was hearing to the end that they did something. If you hear the word of God with regard to marriage, okay, and then you wind up in divorce, something happened somewhere. See? Especially if you're both believers. It's not the hearing of the word of God that is what God wants full circle. He wants you to implement it. He wants you to do the word of God. You have an obligation towards God. You have a duty towards God to call on the name of the Lord Jesus and to repent. And every one of us in this room has done that. Right? That was your duty. Man has a sacred duty to himself now. After a man repents, he has a sacred duty to perform towards himself, for which he is bound by the law of God, the word of God. Did you know that? You have a sacred duty to perform towards yourself once you repent. Matthew chapter 23. Not just one, but you have many. Here's one of your sacred duties that you have to perform towards yourself once you repent. Verse 37. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy what? That's your duty. I can't do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. 2 Timothy 2:15. This is your duty that you have towards God. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's your sacred duty towards God. James 1:22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only who merely deceive themselves. That's your duty towards God. To not only hear the word, but to be what? Do the word. This is your duty. Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't renew my mind for me. You worry about you. This is your duty. This is my duty. That we can prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the only way you're going to do it. You see? Well, the New International reads of 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. This is your duty towards God. Think about it. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. See? You have a duty to God to give. And it's talking about financially. Other areas too, but it's talking about financially. And you have a duty to God to give what you decide in your heart. In other words, your gift is an expression of what's in your heart. That's what it's saying. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. This is your duty towards God. Examine all things, hold fast that which is what? Good. It's your duty to know the truth. It's your duty to examine things and see whether this is right or this is wrong. You have that ability. You don't take everything that somebody gives you for truth. You understand? But people are lazy today. They don't want to study. They don't want to examine. They just want to listen to somebody with fanciful words and say, he sounds good and he has a DR in front of his name, so I'll just believe him. That's lazy. That's negligence of duty. You have a duty towards God. Man has a sacred duty towards himself to respect and reverence the Lord God. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 28. Observe and hear all the words which I command thee. Look how far your duty extends, that it may go good with thee and with thy children after thee forever. Your duty extends to your children. When you obey, when you observe, when you do the word of God, your children get blessed. When thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. That's your duty. And here's another thing. What you do not only affects you, but it affects your kids. It affects your kids. Because guess who's watching you when you're being stupid? Your kids. And guess who you're teaching when you're being stupid? Your kids. And when you're not doing the word, and when you're out doing things contrary to the word, what are you teaching those kids? You know what you're teaching those kids at best? That you're a hypocrite. And you know what you're teaching those kids at worst? That it's okay to do anything you damn well please as long as you wear the badge of religion on your chest. That's not a good thing. Associated concepts with your duty towards God, your personal duty towards yourself and towards God, here include non-delegatable duty. There's just some things in life that you can't delegate. I can delegate who makes the burgers and who makes the hot dogs, but I can't delegate what I should be doing in my life to God. My duty to God. I can't say, Chuck, will you read for me today? Will you pray for me today? Will you love for me today? You can't delegate those kind of things. Another associated concept would be violation of personal duty. You have a personal duty towards God. Don't be in violation of it. I'm going to tell you, if the angel police were here, some of you have a whole lot of tickets. And they wouldn't be for speeding either. Violation for duty. Could you see the scroll? But God doesn't do that, does he? He doesn't come after us. He doesn't remind us of our sins or of our violations, does he? No. But he encourages us. But that shouldn't relieve us from the duty and the moral obligation that we have to walk the way that God wants us to walk. 1 John chapter 5. Under violation of personal duty. Verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his what? Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in who? His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the Son of God. Luke chapter 12, verse 48b. For unto whomsoever, much is given, of him shall much require. And to whom men have committed much, of him they shall ask the more. That's your duty. Whomsoever much is given, you have been given much. You have been given much. It's a minister's job, among the facets of a minister's job, to present the word of God to the congregation, to give much. And then guess what? You're responsible for what you've been given. You can't say to God, well, I never heard that. Or, no. The Bible says, for whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. You know what that is? Duty. It's your duty. God requires it of you. James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do, this is the New American, and does not do it, to him it is what?
Sin.
You know why? Because once you know the scripture, you have a duty to do the scripture. And if you know the right thing to do and you still choose to do the wrong thing, to you it's sin. God doesn't close his eyes. God doesn't say, oh, he's just trying. No, it's sin. Because you have a duty to know the Word of God, and you have a duty to walk the Word of God. That's your duty. But nobody talks about duty today. Everybody talks about what they deserve, or what's their right, or I'm entitled to this. That's not the way it was years past. Wasn't it Kennedy that says, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country? You see? That was the mentality. How can I serve? I'm called to duty. How can I bless? What is my responsibility here? It's not, let me come here and be served. Let me come here and be fed. What is your duty? And then functioning in your own duty and your own ministry. And don't try to function in somebody else's. People fight for a lifetime. They look at a minister and they critique the minister. They judge the minister. They always know better than the minister. And they say, I should be the minister, or I should be the one that's ordained, or I should have the title, for a lifetime. And they miss what they should be doing. And when they finally get it, it's time to die or to return. Because they spend their life in judgment a lifetime. Don't worry about what everybody else is called to do. You have a personal duty to be concerned with what God called you to do. And the Bible says if he's placed you in the body, it is pleased who? Him. So if he's placed you in the body with a ministry of prayer, a ministry of healing, a ministry of service, a ministry of giving, be thankful that you have it and get busy ministering in that ministry. Don't be saying, I want to be a prophet. Well, you're not called to be a prophet. You try to be a prophet, you're going to fail miserably. That's what people, they get these things in their heads. The world, that's the world. Because you know what the thing in your head should be? He who is the greatest should be servant of what? There you go. That's the word's way. But you get mixed up and you go, oh, he's the CEO, or oh, he's this, or oh, he's that, and I want to be. If you want to be somebody, you should be a servant. And it should show in your life. It should show in your life. You understand? You are available. You serve. People will see your ministry as you function. And if they don't, so what? Duty is not collective. It's personal. Don't worry about it. It's personal. It's between you and God. See, this is your sacred duty as a man or as a woman towards God. Man has a sacred duty to himself after he repents to learn and walk in light of God's word. He has a sacred duty to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ in the body that he has been called to. Get yourself in a church, in a fellowship, in somewhere, and start serving there. You hop around and hop around and hop around and go here and go there and go everywhere else, you'll never be rooted and grounded. You'll be confused. I didn't say you couldn't listen and you couldn't study. I said you need to be in a body and serve in a body. You need to be in that household. It could be a household in Conshohocken. It could be a household anywhere. There's many households. People who like to just hop around and visit fellowships will never get committed. Because in order to be committed, you have to have a group that you can commit with. And don't give me that I'm committed to Jesus kind of crap. I don't read that in the Bible. You know what I read in the Bible? That the members should have the same care one for another. I read unity. You understand? I read all of that stuff. I read nowhere of the lone wolf for Jesus who stands alone and fights with everybody else. What are you going to do with the manifestations? Just throw them out the window. Because what are you going to do? Speak in tongues for yourself? Prophesy for yourself? It says let it do by two or three. So you're going to speak in tongues, and then you're going to go over here, and you're going to prophesy, and then you're going to go over here, and you're going to speak in tongues. It's all wrapped around the concept of a body. You know, Jesus Christ came and did what he did by himself so we could have what's called, the family of God. See? I didn't say here, and I'm not saying here. And if anybody ever says here, they're wrong. But everybody should say somewhere you can call and get help, somewhere you can go and you can serve, somewhere you can go and fellowship with like-minded believers, somewhere you can go, somewhere you can be a part of building something, belonging to something, encouraging one another. You understand? Somewhere. We should accept responsibility for our lives. Really. Not this, I didn't do it, I didn't say that, it wasn't me. Accept responsibility for your life and know that it's in your obedience to God that will get you where God wants you to go. Not where you want to go. Where God wants you to go. But you're so damn busy fighting with God and telling him you want to be a prophet. God goes like, okay, I'll check with you in a year or two. Listen to God and be obedient to him. So we looked at our sacred duty towards God. We looked at our sacred duty towards ourself. Man has a sacred duty towards others. Go to Mark chapter 16, please. Number one is God. Number two is ourselves. Number three is that we have a sacred duty towards others. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be what? Yeah. There it is. That's your sacred duty. For you to go into the sphere of the world that God has placed in your heart and to speak the word of God. 1 John 4, verse 14. This is your sacred duty towards others. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's your duty. To testify of that truth. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That's your sacred duty towards others, to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Witness to the power of the Holy Spirit. How can you witness to the power, excuse me, of the Holy Spirit if you don't even believe in ministering healing to somebody? How are you going to do that? How are you going to be a witness to the power of the Holy Spirit if you don't even believe in casting a demon out of somebody and setting them free in deliverance? You're just going to teach a good sermon? That's not what you were called to do. You shall receive power, and you shall be witnesses. Witnesses. A true witness operates the Spirit of God in power by the name of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5. This is your sacred duty towards others. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Excuse me. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of what?
Reconciliation.
That's your sacred duty towards man, towards others, to reconcile back to God. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed to who?
Us,
the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are what?
Amen.
Ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled towards who?
God.
To God. That's your sacred duty towards others. You are an ambassador. You are an ambassador. Associated concepts with this particular duty here is performance of duty. You're an ambassador. How are you performing as an ambassador? And sadly enough, with some abandonment of duty. They just don't think about who they are or what they've been called to be or what they have a duty to accomplish and an obligation and a responsibility before God Almighty. This is our sacred duty towards others. There's something called ministerial duty for those in service in the body of Christ. We should honor our commitment with integrity. In doing what we do, we deserve no praise because it's our duty. Okay? And if you get that, you don't need praise. You function from duty and love and commitment, not a pat on the back. We don't deserve praise because we're just doing our duty. You ever see a soldier come back from a mission? Risked his life, lost half his men in the mission, brings a little girl back, gives it back to the father or the mother, and they think, no thanks necessary, just doing my duty. Just doing my duty. Same in the church. Associated concepts with a minister under ministerial duty. Unfit for duty. And in the extreme, they need to be relieved from duty. Some ministers are unfit for duty. They don't function in the power of the Holy Spirit. They don't walk in the love of God. They do not minister. They are there for a paycheck. They are there for praise. They are there for worship of themselves. They are there to serve their ego. And a lot of them are just downright demonized. They are unfit for duty. And when those ministers remain in office, they hurt people. And the best thing that could happen to those ministers before they go and they hurt God's tender people is that they should be removed from duty. And if that can't happen, you should have enough brains to remove yourself from their ministry. Myself included. Man has a sacred duty to mankind as an ambassador of Christ to preach, to witness, and to live the gospel to all the world. He is to show the love of God without partiality to all and to be especially good unto the household of faith. He is to be diligent in the line of duty as he conducts himself with loyalty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, personal courage for his Father, for his Lord, for himself, and for mankind. This is our sacred duty to God, to ourselves, and to others. Let us be found in doing our duty and not ignoring it. You pray, Chuck.